We have Mike Miller, who's in his 18th season with the Honolulu Indians. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you being with us. Hey, correct me if I'm wrong. You guys went 3-1, correct, in your tournament this weekend, the Crystal Lake Central tournament?
Yep, yeah, 3-1, and got off to a good start. So we're feeling pretty good about the beginning of the year.
Kind of assess what you saw this weekend, or this last weekend, and how the kids played. Maybe some surprises, whether it be the way they played or individual players that might have surprised you a little bit.
Well, we really didn't know what we had coming in. You know, we don't have much experience coming back, and we got a lot of new faces. And so, you know, really this first tournament is kind of trying to figure out, you know, what we do well and what we need to improve on. And so to come out of that 3-1 and to learn about your team and win at the same time is great for us. I think what I found out was that we're going to shoot the ball really, really well. We have 14 made threes against Crystal Lake Central. That was a great win for us. Crystal Lake Central has a 6'8 kid that's a senior that has already scored 1,000 points in his career and has got a scholarship to Bucknell. And, you know, they're expected to be a really good suburban team this year. And, you know, we beat them and made 14 threes doing it. So that's nice. You know, it's nice to know that we have a chance to put the ball in the hole from deep, and we've got multiple shooters. A junior, Chris Acolytis, has shot the ball very, very well. Drew Greigel, who's a senior, shoots the ball really, really well. Trent DeVries, who's a sophomore, again, another shooter. So, you know, I think probably the scouting report on us is going to be, you know, boy, they shoot the ball really, really well, and you better guard the line because we do have some guys that can score in bunches from there. Nick Pearson's a returning senior. He led us in scoring, did a lot of great things around the basket. And he's kind of a hard matchup for people. He kind of play inside and out. So, you know, those guys have obviously got us off to a good start.
What I get struck by your team this year, I think it's so cool that you have so many of the football players on your team, and I just don't see that much in the Nick 10 anymore, where you get, especially in the glamour sports, football and basketball, playing both sports. And how many football players do you have on the team this year, and is that more than normal, and how cool is it that you got your star athletes at Honolulu doing both sports?
I'm not sure exactly. I think we've got like seven of our 14 play football this year, which is, like you said, is a high number. You know, we do kind of live in an era of specialization now, and I think that's one of the things that Honolulu does great is we really do a good job of putting the kid first. You know, at some schools, you know, they have a thing of coaches getting territorial and they think, okay, you're a basketball kid or you're a football kid or you're a baseball kid. But, you know, Brian Zimmerman is the head football coach and Matt Simpson's the head baseball coach, and we just all sit down together and try to figure out ways so kids can do everything instead of trying to find ways that they can't. And I think a lot of places don't do that and you know, puts kids in the middle. You know, we try to get the adults in a room and try to sort it out so we can say, okay, how can we make this work for the kid and keep everybody happy? So by and large, we've done that. And we've got, you know, some great kids that dedicate themselves to a lot of different things. I think it's worked out for everybody.
Good for you.
You know, the biggest news last offseason, of course, you lost some talent. But then the biggest news, obviously, was the transfer of Caleb Donaldson, one of your best players. When did you find out about that? And did that disrupt a lot of things or something like that that happens? You just move on?
Well, you know, obviously, Caleb was a part of a lot of wins at Honolulu High School, and we appreciated his efforts while he was here, and we wish him the best of luck. You know, he left after the season last year and transferred to Bloomington, and, you know, just like anything, you know, you just kind of deal with what happens and move on. You know, more and more you see, you know, you see kids, you know, like you look at the Chicagoland and even in Rockford, you know, you look at what's happened in Rockford, there's kind of a transfer culture now. And I think in college athletics, something like 70% of kids will go to, you know, that are college athletes end up going to a different place, you know, and I don't know if the stats are that high, but it's just something that happens. And you move on and you wish everybody the best, and you go from there.
And you mentioned, though, that that's something you've seen more and more lately. I want to talk a little bit about that. You know, you're in your 18th year with Hananiga, but you've been involved in basketball in this area for a lot longer than that. Talk a little bit about, first of all, how much has the game changed, maybe even the game of high school basketball in terms of things like transfers and that? How much have they changed? And also, how much have you changed as a coach over these, this time?
Well, you know, I think everything kind of is constantly evolving, you know. You know, as far as some of the stuff, you know, of what's changed, you know, it used to be, you know, 20-some years ago, it was the thing where you had to kind of try to find avenues for kids to play basketball year-round. And now, you know, that you know, these kids, as soon as their high school season ends, they're playing AAU games, and then they go and play 25 days in the summer with your high school program, and then they go play some more AAU, and there's personal trainers, and there's all this kind of stuff. So, you know, the avenues for a kid to play the game have just exploded. You know, I think you see a lot of individual skill work that's probably better. I think kids can probably do more things individually with the ball than maybe they used to. I think there has been a breakdown in team. You know, I don't know if, you know, I don't know, this may be an old guy talking, but you know, I think sometimes, you know, kids can do more individual things with the ball, but maybe we have to teach them more about team stuff. You know, it used to be if you wanted to play out of the season, you'd go to the park and your team better win, because yep, if your team doesn't win, you're going to sit for 2 hours. You know, mm-hmm, you're not getting back on the court. Where now it's a situation where, you know, kids know, hey, I'm going to play at 8 a.m., 12, you know, noon, 3 o'clock. Doesn't matter if I win or lose. But, hey, I had 20 points in this game, and, you know, so I played great. And so I think some of the culture has changed that way. You know, I think now everything is run by adults. You know, kids, we used to just play in the driveway, or we used to play in the park, mm-hmm, and you'd figure out things on your own. You were able to try things. Now, I think everything is run by adults, and kids are coached from the time they're 5 years old. And sometimes I know that can be a good situation, or that can be a really bad situation. I think we've all seen the situation where the, you know, you got the 6 year old and the parents in the stands, you know, yelling and screaming, and I think it's kind of been much more organized and much more serious at an early level, which there's probably some good and bad in that. As far as the game individually, I think, you know, when I first started, you know, the three-point shot was not, you know, as prevalent. You know, you might have one kid that you feel comfortable shooting a three, and now, you know, like, you know, here's how old I am is, the three-point line came in my junior year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always taught, you know, step in, step in, step in.
Yeah.
Well, the three-point line came in, and you know, my shooting range was right about where the top of the key was. You know, now kids in sixth and seventh grade are shooting three-pointers, you know, and you got multiple kids shooting it, and you throw in the Steph Curry effect, and, you know, you've lost kind of some of the low post game, and you've definitely added, you know, multiple guys that shoot the ball.
Yeah, when you were talking at the beginning, I was thinking, boy, you could have used a few of those 14 threes against Chicago King when you had such a great team, but but they had those seven-footers.
Yeah, obviously, you know, that was a whole different world then. And you know, it's just a different brand of basketball now. You know, now, you know, the kids that are tall, you know, I think in some ways the kids that were tall always wanted to be guards, and the kids that were guards, mm-hmm, always wanted to be big.
That's right.
But now I think everybody wants to be Steph Curry.
I always think back your years, especially with Hananiga, that you always had the reputation of a team that shot threes and shot a lot of them. So you embraced the three as a coach early, probably more so than anybody else did. I think it's becoming the trend now. Was that out of necessity, or did you just foresee that this is a great weapon to use?
I don't know, maybe a little both. Definitely out of necessity. You know, I mean, you know, if you look at our rosters over the year, you know, we have not been blessed with the quickness and the physicality of maybe some other schools, but what we have is we have some skilled guys that shooting is something that they've done, and so that's kind of been a thing that's helped us. You know, we knew early on that, you know, back in the era of the Greg Boylan teams, you know, it seemed like Boylan would have 3 6'6" guys, and you know, we were playing with power forwards that were 6'1", and so we had to be creative to find ways to compete and play in, you know, the zone that we play, and shooting threes was a way to make us, you know, difficult to play against.
We're talking with Coach Mike Miller of the Honeynigge Indians boys basketball team. Last question, Mike, getting back to this season. After what you saw in the Thanksgiving tournaments and stuff, where do you see your team finishing? What is the peak of what this team could accomplish this season?
Well, you know, I've never really been a prediction guy. You know, that's for media in Las Vegas to do. My focus has always been let's try to be as good as we can be, and let's try to improve and do this. And, you know, like I told our guys the other day, we had a great game against Crystal Lake Central and played really, really well, and then followed that up with a night where we didn't play as well against Barrington, and they played tremendously against us, and we got beat. And I told our guys they messed up because now they made me think that we're going to be good. So, so you know, I mean, we're going to hold them to a certain standard, and you know, we think that if we make enough right plays, then good things are going to happen. So I see no reason why our expectations should change. And, you know, we've always felt that we have a chance to compete at the highest levels of the conference. And we're sure hoping for that again this year.
All right. He's Mike Miller in his 18th season with the Honeynigge Indians. Mike, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We really do appreciate it. And we wish you the best of luck the rest of this season.